Here's a sneak peek of our episode.
If I have to book another hotel or Airbnb again, I'm gonna snap. So I invited 10 strangers into my home. I wanna say it's better, but maybe not. I had a lot to prove. The main reason why I wanted to settle down is because...
Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon from women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love.
Hello and welcome back. I am April Betts.
I am Anna Sherina.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. In today's episode, we will be discussing with our guest about coming from a digital nomad lifestyle to planting roots in Lisbon. So let's get into it and welcome our guest, Christina. Mm-hmm. Hello. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? And how long have you been here in Lisbon so far?
Sure. So I'm from Canada. I've been in Lisbon for almost 5 months now. Lisbon is now my home after 10 years of travel, which is kind of crazy. Finally planting roots.
Can you give us a little insight on just some of the countries that you've lived in?
I stopped counting after 30, but I've been maybe the last 10 years, like 3 months. Spain is definitely a big one. I've been 3 months in Spain and then 3 months out for a while. I spent 6 months in India as well. I spent some time in Latin America. Actually, I was stuck in Ecuador for 17 months during the pandemic. Was quite crazy. I spent some time there. That's where I learned the bulk of my Spanish. Where else? In Southeast Asia. Yeah. Some different areas. I mean, 10 years, it adds up. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a very long time.
Yeah.
To travel and... the digital nomad lifestyle. Wow.
Yeah. Maybe too long.
I don't know. I think it's such a great experience. And like, can you imagine? You could write a memoir. Like,
yeah.
And just imagine like the stories you can tell.
Yeah. No, I definitely am very, very grateful that I was able to sustain the lifestyle for 10 years. In around year five, it, you know, changed. And I was like, wow, this is kind of my lifestyle. This is all I know. And it's been really, really interesting kind of now coming back to a normal life to be able to like say, okay, yeah, come over for dinner in 2 weeks, you know, where normally I would be, okay, I'm going to go on a plane in 2 weeks.
I'm wondering like how old were you when you started like the digital nomad lifestyle?
So I started when I was still in university. My second last year of university and I got my first client. Mm-hmm. Already when I was in university, I would travel on my winter break and in the summer and everything. I got my first client. And then from there, it just snowballed kind of.
Oh, and I don't think you said, but you're from Canada. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's get into the first question. Can you take us back to your digital nomad phase? And what did your work in daily life look like then?
So yeah, when I was a digital nomad, I mean, obviously every year it changed a little bit. There was no strict routine, I would say. But a lot of my time was spent for booking flights and finding accommodations. And it was amazing, though, like being able to, you know, manage work on the go and, you know, make friends on the go, see this, see that, you know, have all these super full experiences. It really actually motivated me, I would say, in my work as well, which is really nice. But also, you know, after year 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you definitely, I got a little bit burnt out. You know, I was like, it came to a point in the last 2 years, I was like, if I have to book another hotel or Airbnb again, I'm going to snap, you know? So it just became a lot of that. And also, obviously, as you grow up in your early 20s, it was great, you know, stay in hostels and, you know, stay in lower, more economy kind of
budget
and flights and accommodations. But then as you get into your 30s, you're like, okay, I want a little bit nicer atmosphere. So also finding these great places all over took more time as well. You had to be more intentional about where you spent your time.
So you spent a lot of time just looking for accommodations. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean, it depends. Like, I started to do more slower travel as well. So I would like to be in a place for 1 to 2 months, 3 months. So when you're looking for a place that you're going to spend a few months in, you really want to make sure it has like natural light, a good place for you to work, solid Wi-Fi connection, all of these things. So you need to be a bit more intentional with it. And I've definitely messed up a few times as well with booking accommodation in a bad area or somewhere where it's totally far from anything else going on. And I had to take taxis and it ended up being more expensive, etc. So
yeah, it happens. And it's also really shitty if you book it beforehand and you can't leave maybe and you don't like the place. So that's exhausting.
Yeah, or in tropical places, sometimes places have mold, obviously, is super common, and it looks like a beautiful place, and then you get there and you're like, that smells.
You don't know beforehand.
That has it's here also in Lisbon. I personally don't know what the smell is or anything, so I'm not used to being in mold environments. So
it smells kind of like when you put your laundry out and it's not like getting dry, you know, that smell. It's like wet laundry kind of. It's like disgusting. So it's and not healthy also.
It's been crazy the last few weeks. It's been so humid.
I'm curious also, because you were doing the digital nomad lifestyle, were you on like a certain time zone or were you just doing however you want it?
So majority of my clients are usually in North America, but I do have some clients sometimes in Europe and some other places. So it really depends, but normally I was, going through different time zones as well, which was taxing because obviously sometimes I would have to do calls at like 11, 12 at night, which then your whole day is a little bit messed up the next day, you have to sleep in later and everything. But overall, because I'm a consultant and kind of make my own schedule, it was quite easy to manage time zones after year after year. So, but because I needed to do that, time management became super important to me. I track almost every hour what I do for my work. So in what project it's going on. So like when I go home, I'll update my timer saying I did like 2 hours for a podcast.
Oh my God. But do you do it for yourself or is it for like the company?
Mainly for work / any kind of, you know, things like this. But I kind of wish that I did it for how much time I took to choose accommodations and travel
God.
But in the end, I'm probably happy that I don't see that number.
Right?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mainly just do it for work. So then as a consultant, I know that, okay, it's going to take me X amount of time to do this specific task. So then I can say, okay, tomorrow is my travel day. I'm going to travel and then in the evening spend 4 hours doing this specific task. Because otherwise, if you don't really know these things, it's very difficult to manage the travel days, manage being able to, you know, go out and meet friends, explore, get to a destination if you want to go on a hike, if you want to go surfing, like fit all of that in with your work as well. So time management became my best friend.
I can imagine. So for you it was more like that you had like an insight of the amount of time that it would cost you to do certain things.
Exactly. I ended up like knowing what work I was performing usually and then trying to put a time estimate on that, and then kind of planning my weeks, my days and everything. So that really helped. But of course, when you travel, you have to make a lot of buffer room as well, because sometimes flights get delayed, things happen, take longer, things like that. So also being able to, luckily for me, I wasn't working a 9-to-5. So I had the ability to be able to say, okay, I'm going to take this day off to travel, and then not, you know, take a full weekend, work on Saturday or Sunday to make up the time or something like that. So it was a bit more flexible for me, but
yeah,
people with a 9-to-5, it just affects their travel more when they have to clock in and clock out at a certain time. They're like, okay, I obviously cannot travel at this day.
With this lifestyle, you kind of have to be able to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Which actually, being in Portugal also made me realize you have to go with the flow.
Yes.
So there's actually a lot of similarities in that sense. Like, actually getting, it's funny, getting an apartment here in Portugal was so difficult. We were 2 weeks without water, 2 weeks without electricity. Yeah, so we had to book an Airbnb.
But why did it take them 2 weeks?
Because they gave us the wrong CPE number, and then the actual electricity meter is at a different address than our home address, and it's very confusing because it's like a circle, like the street. So it was just very, very confusing. And then we didn't speak any Portuguese, so we were talking on the phone with energy companies, and they didn't know the CPE, and like, it was very complicated. So in the end, we had two energy companies with contracts fighting over us and calling each other saying, this person is with us. No, this person is with us. It was really funny. Yeah. Yeah. So in the end now, we're like still, you know, a few months later, very grateful that we have electricity.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So it was also kind of luckily, my boyfriend and I, like when we were navigating this, we both travel. So we're like, this is kind of normal, but not really normal when you're supposed to be living in a place and, you know, moving into a place. But
yeah,
it allowed us to be flexible at least.
I'm curious, why did you choose Lisbon?
Because it's funny, actually. 10 years ago, I ended up studying here, doing a semester here. So I was always kind of attracted to Lisbon. And also, it just, the digital nomad visa was quite attractive as well. And as we know, there's a big entrepreneur and kind of tech scene here as well, and good tax benefits and plans and everything. So a lot of these reasons made me come. And also, I just love the south of Europe. The climate is huge. The sun. I'm saying this after 2 weeks of rain.
Girl, another week to come. Maybe even two. Yeah, January is horrible.
Sunshine and every day, and that's what's gonna happen.
Exactly, exactly. I hope so.
We need it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But at least, you know, we don't have to wear a hat and mittens.
Exactly.
And stuff,
normally, so the weather is great. So
yeah, normally, and just yeah, the slower pace of life. Everything like that. I thought because I knew Spanish that Portuguese would be easier to learn. That's not true. It's even more difficult, I think. So yeah, but
I think because if you read it, it looks like Spanish.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'll understand it. And then when they speak it, you're like,
Yeah, yeah. And I can kind of understand. And I've even had some encounters where just like the sentences seem like, because obviously there's the same words in Spanish and Portuguese for many words. And so I start speaking like Spanish because I think that they're speaking Spanish to me, but then they're actually speaking Portuguese. And I'm like, do I continue to speak Spanish or just change to, like, I'm confused. What do I do?
Yeah, like
sometimes I forget. Sometimes I am wondering if they're speaking Spanish to me or Portuguese because I understand it. So I'm like, wait a minute, is it Spanish or is it Portuguese? Because I'm like, I don't feel like I'm at a point where I can understand Portuguese like really, really good. So it's like when I can understand it, I'm thinking it's Spanish.
Yeah. It's hard too because I've had friends explain Portuguese to me and I just feel like it's so similar, but the words, the letters are changed a little bit.
Yeah, the pronouns are so different. Like after a while, you hear it immediately because if it looks a bit like Portuguese, but it's more like singy or something, it's like Spanish. And when it's like staccato and it's like shh, then it's Portuguese.
Yeah. So it's the language I'm working on.
Yes,
slowly,
it's another project to add to your list.
Yes, so yeah. But I didn't, I thought knowing Spanish would help me, but maybe not.
It helps, like the grammar and stuff, but it's just you kind of need to get used to like the pronouns and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, learning a Latin language is helping.
It is helpful.
Yeah,
exactly.
If I was coming only from English, it would be much harder, I think. So, yeah.
Sure. Do you think digital nomad life quietly promotes hustle culture, even when it looks free from the outside?
Yes and no. I think leaning more towards yes, but at the same time, you do have moments where you can be super free, where you can, you know, most of my years as a digital nomad, I was in tropical climates. Mm-hmm. I was able to be outside in the sun, you know, with my feet on the ground, all of this. So be able to be by the ocean, all of this. So I think the lifestyle is it allows you to really take the time to harness life and slow down and enjoy the moment and everything. But at the same time, if you do that too much, you're not going to be able to support the lifestyle anymore, mm-hmm. essentially. And that's mm-hmm. obviously given that you're working, making your own money as an online business owner or mm-hmm. something like this. Or of course, if you're working a remote 9-to-5, if you are taking more time to, you know, explore the lifestyle instead of work, you're obviously not going to maybe keep that job for a long time either. So yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing. If you're an entrepreneur, I think obviously, it is a little bit of hustle culture disguised under palm trees and beach views for sure.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
definitely. But, I've seen a lot of people be successful as a remote worker 9-to-5, mm-hmm. and it is kind of nice sometimes because you can kind of hack the time zones as well. Mm-hmm. So most of my clients are in Canada, and so I don't have to start working until 1, 2, 3 p.m. And kind of be available for them, which is nice because in the summertime you can wake up, you can go to the beach in this mm-hmm. time, you can really just have a slow morning, which I'm really enjoying. Mm-hmm. It's funny, my boyfriend and I always joke. We say when we're in Europe working Canadian hours, we actually have, you know, the morning free, and we make an incentive to have a slow morning. Whereas when we're in Canada, and we work till 10 anyways, but when we're in Canada, we wake up at 8 or 9, work, and then work till 10 anyways. Yeah. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's actually quite interesting that you mentioned that, because I have to deal with work back in the States and the time mm-hmm. zone difference. I always notice, like, in the morning, it's like my chance to, like, it's like my peace and it's like my time, because I know that I'm not going to get phone calls mm-hmm. from the States, and it's just like, it's like peace during that time.
It's nice, yeah. And I think also, like, I'm a very big advocate of starting your day more slowly, I guess, mm-hmm. just because naturally I've been used to that more. And so I think I'm also more of a night person too, mm-hmm. because after living in Spain for many years, you know, I end up eating dinner at 10 p.m. often. And so
do you still do that here? Now it's winter time.
9:30. It's something that I would like to, I wish I was more of a morning person. And I think I'm very much of like a person of my environment. So when I was living mm-hmm. in Ecuador for 17 months, something like that. close enough. I was waking up at like 7 a.m., going to bed at 11 p.m. That was really nice. But also the sun was setting at 6 p.m. every day mm-hmm. for over a year, you know? So you want to maximize the amount of sunlight.
Wait, the sun was setting at 6 p.m.?
Yes, because it's close to the Ecuador, close to the equator.
I didn't realize that. It's like that the whole year?
Yeah, which was a really good indication as well, because I always thought about living in Latin America, but then I was like, no, I actually like seasons. It's nice to have.
Yeah. It has some benefits.
I didn't even realize that when I went to go visit that region. I didn't even pay attention to that. Maybe because I went during the winter, so I was like, oh, it's just...
maybe like some other areas have some small variance and everything.
Yeah, it also depends on where you were, because it's like South America is quite big, so
But I was in Peru, which is not that far.
But maybe Peru is different because it is a little bit lower. Further. Okay. Yeah, Ecuador is like quite close. Okay. Yeah, so but okay. It was good to observe it.
Is there anything you miss about the digital nomad lifestyle, and would you see yourself doing it again?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I actually got my residency card last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was so happy because I finally could leave, you know, being a digital nomad that could leave anytime that she wanted. And being obviously in Portugal for an unknown amount of time was a bit tricky, because I was like, am I ever going to get the card? I've read some Reddit feeds saying it would take up to 6-7 months, you know.
I'm curious, how long did it take you?
4 months.
Oh, okay.
But I actually surprisingly got my appointment to get the residency card in 2 weeks of arriving. of applying for the appointment, which was really fast.
Applying? It didn't come in your passport?
The residency card.
Oh, you're talking about...
I got my digital nomad visa, and then I had to apply, go to Emma to get an appointment for my...
You had to go to get the appointment.
No, I had to get the appointment and then go to Emma to apply for my residency card.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to get the appointment, it took 2 weeks only to, get a slot.
What I'm saying is because mine came in with the visa on the passport with the appointment time, so it didn't come with an appointment. No, okay, gotcha. No. Okay.
Yeah, but also she has a different visa, right? So maybe
it's the same.
The digital nomad she has, right? So
yeah, it was supposed to be on the appointment on the visa. Well, I think
because
so.
The U.S. and Canada, we have to apply for the same type of visas.
Mm-hmm.
So
you had another one, right?
Yeah, I had the passive income visa, but they're basically the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. But I think it was supposed to come with my visa, but it just
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Go with the flow.
But that's good that you got it in 2 weeks because some people have been waiting for a year.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was very happy about that. And it was a time where my visa expired and my residency card didn't come. So I just had a receipt saying that was my only documentation that I could be in Portugal. So it was a bit crazy. Obviously, you couldn't leave. So yeah, to answer your question, obviously, I do, I see some of my friends that are based, maybe in Spain, and then they go to Bali, and then they go to Europe again, and, this is kind of classic digital nomad style, and I'm like, oh, I should go to Bali next month, I should go to South Africa, these thoughts constantly cross my mind, and I'm very tempted often, but it's been nice to settle down a little bit as well, actually. The main reason why I wanted to settle down is because if you want a family, if you want to, have just a normal life going into your 30s later on, you're going to need to have a circle of friends that you can count on and that are around you 24/7. I have met an amazing amount of friends that are digital nomads, and we see each other once every 2 to 3 years if our paths align, So it's really hard to keep a stable friendship that way, although we do try. And when we do see each other, we go to the Sahara Desert and spend a month together, Aww. So it's
I love that.
It's really nice, intense, close relationships. Yeah. But it's really nice to have more normal relationships here, where you meet somebody, you hang out with them every weekend for a few weeks, you kind of get to know them. That's actually something I've been really enjoying here as well. So
I can imagine. And also maybe now you have more kind of a routine than before, so
definitely. I have a bit of a routine. I have some friends, and I'm starting to actually make more friends. Being in Lisbon was something that it brought me something that I didn't realize, and obviously I'm very fresh. It's only been a few months, but for New Year's, for example, my boyfriend was applying for his visa back in Canada, so I was here. It's Christmas, New Year's, and then my birthday is a week later. So I'm always as a digital nomad going to a new place, I was always I have to make plans for these three events in a row when I'm in a new place. So I kind of had a similar feeling when I was here in Lisbon, because we didn't have electricity in our apartment and stuff, and we were working so much the first couple of months. It was hard to meet people. But then, so I realized I didn't have any plans for New Year's. So I actually put a post in a group for Facebook.
Now that you mention it, I think I might have saw your post.
Probably.
There was I think I saw your post, because I think you said that your boyfriend was out and you were just if anybody wanted
small
to hang out.
Things.
I almost applied and said something, but I was I don't feel like doing anything.
Oh my god, you could have met before. That's crazy.
I know, that's so funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I do feel like Lisbon has a bit of a small town situation going on a little bit. Because I bumped into some same people at some different events, and I'm like, oh wow, hey. So it's nice.
I kind of realized that recently how small Lisbon actually really is, because you kind of do end up running into some of the same people.
I never expected that before. I thought Lisbon was huge. I mean, it's larger than my hometown, but still it's you run into people, and it's crazy.
I think people because I'm from LA, just in LA people stay in their neighborhoods because traffic is annoying. So no one ever likes to leave unless you have to. So you always
end up running into the same people.
Yeah. I guess in Canada, people don't really leave their house when it's cold.
That makes sense.
We do everything we can not to.
Yeah.
But what I was saying, so about that post. Yeah. So I actually posted just saying, I don't have any plans. Does anyone know of anything? I heard some small events and stuff, something that was kind of outside of the city. And then I was like, none of these options really are singing to me. So why don't I just create my own event? Mm. So I invited 10 strangers into my home, did a manifestation exercise because it was New Year's Eve.
Oh my gosh.
And then we did a dinner and it was so, so, so nice. And it went amazing. It was just girls. Went super, super amazing.
That's
and
amazing.
I was buzzing for like 3 days after. And I was like, wow, this gave me so much energy. This was so nice. So it's kind of sparked the idea to do more in-person dinners. I might do some founder dinners later on. It kind of brought me something that I didn't even realize I was looking for. But I love being a host. I love meeting people and everything. So yeah, it was like a really nice way to also meet some of the friends that I have here now. I met them through there, so it was great.
Oh, that's cool. You would have loved that.
Yeah, I know. Sounds
like an event for you, right?
I know, that's so funny. But I feel like maybe like the universe kind of made it that way so that you could find something that you're passionate about that you didn't realize.
Exactly.
And then maybe you could put more energy into that.
Exactly, yeah. And I do feel like Lisbon is one of these places where you can very, very easily create an event and have people come, because I look on Meetup, I look at, all of these people doing so many events.
Yeah.
I went to an AI event 1 week, and then the next week I went to an event at Wheelhouse, which is like more spirituality, and I saw the same person, and I'm like, oh my God, it's really cool. So,
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So you're a Capricorn, correct?
Yes. We love Capricorn. You did the math, I guess, in January of
birthday.
Yes. It was an easy one.
I can tell now because when we actually spoke to her prior to interviewing her here, and when you were talking about your work and everything, it was just like I could sense like you were like a lot of like this, and I was, and you're just talking about all the stuff that you're doing, and I'm like, you're doing all of this by yourself, and like you're like, yeah, da, da. And then now you tell me you're a Capricorn, I'm like, ah, makes sense.
Sabotage our own lives, you know.
No, it's just you guys are just very hard workers, and it's you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true, and I think also, like going back to the whole digital nomad thing as well. I had a lot to prove to my family, to everyone, to say, yeah, I can do this digital nomad lifestyle. I can do it full time. I can make enough money to support myself. And I guess I just carried that energy for a long time. So, yeah. But
now you no longer have to prove yourself.
Yeah. Now I no longer have to prove myself. So it's more for me about making an impact.
It's obviously about making yourself happy.
Yes.
You know, doing what you love. And
exactly.
And actually realizing what you need and you making the change.
Exactly. Yeah. So something more purposeful. Obviously, I love marketing. It's great. But I think I mentioned to you guys, I'm now in creating an online platform to help entrepreneurs kind of go into entrepreneurship. It's very MVP right now, so that's why I don't have a proper pitch, really. So it's also kind of been really nice to move somewhere new, finally settle down and say, okay, I've done consulting for 10 years. Now, what can I do that is going to make the most impact with what I've learned, with what I am able to teach, and how can I help the most
people?
And
then also, too, what you are going into, it's something you're more passionate about, correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, originally I launched Rise Remotely back in 2021, and it was an online platform to help people either go remote or work better remotely. So I launched that with a similar idea. I wanted to help people get this remote lifestyle and be able to become digital nomads. But then I realized I was dealing with a lot of people that were too scared to make the leap. And I got burnt out by trying to convince them to change their life, because I was like, no, you know what? You need to know how to change your life yourself. Like, maybe not. Okay, sorry. Cut that out, please.
we'll leave it in.
It's true.
Not speaking English. I was working with a lot of people that were not sure if they wanted to change their life. And it made me kind of burnt out saying, no, this is the, like, this is an amazing lifestyle. You should change, you know, because maybe it doesn't work for some people. Maybe the digital nomad lifestyle is overwhelming for some people. Some people are not meant to be entrepreneurs. They're way better at being employees or very analytical at small things and stuff. So it really just depends on their personality type and who they are. So that's why I'm shifting towards helping entrepreneurs as well, and actually going a little bit more into the personality type and those archetypes to see if who you are actually, because also this digital nomad lifestyle like gave me so much knowledge about self-development. It's like insane. And obviously if you meet digital nomads that have been a nomad for, you know, more than 2-3 years, they end up learning so much about themselves because
you spend a lot of time alone.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can really start asking yourself questions that maybe you never even thought to ask.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, taking all of that and trying to help entrepreneurs, that's kind of like the goal right now in Lisbon. Well, I still manage freelancing work, but but it's just been really nice because I do feel like Lisbon has this really nice grounding energy where I can say, okay, like, there's no more distractions. I am in Europe. I can go, you know, visit some of my friends in Europe. My brother lives in Greece, so I do have family kind of close, which is nice. And then it's also only 6 hours to go home if I really want to. So I feel like I'm not far away from really anything, which is great. But I also am like now finally settled in my home and able to just start.
Do you
creating.
Feel like you can just like breathe now? Like you can like let go a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a little bit tricky, to be honest, because also, like, I definitely had been fighting the urge to say, okay, like, I wish I could just go and run away almost, because us nomads were super good at that. But then also, obviously, just being here and staying here and saying, you know, this is my normal life now, being grateful for the last 10 years, I definitely was a bit reflective when I also, I guess the end of the year made me more reflective as well. But when I arrived here, I was definitely more reflective with the digital nomad lifestyle. But now it's exciting to be able to have a space where I can host people, to be able to have, you know, this routine where I can actually grow something, where I can meet people in person. I can, you know, go to events to learn more about my craft and stuff like that. It's been really good to finally have this place where I can do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm also curious, like, now that you're in Lisbon, do you also notice that your balance, like your work-life balance, so to say, has it changed since you arrived, or is it still like the same?
I want to say it's better, but maybe not. I mean, because I'm trying, I'm kind of like in a growth stage right now for building something that I really want to. It's a lot right now, but I'm also okay with, I think it depends. Like, I've always kind of had my core fundamentals. Like, I eat healthy, I work out, I have my slow morning, so the time zone difference is really nice. So that's been good. I still will always have these slow mornings. I honestly don't usually work more than 35 hours a week, always.
Oh, that's good.
So, but when I, like, because I track my time, this is, like, full-on 35 hours focused work. So maybe if I'm, like, replying to a Slack message on my phone a few times, things like that, maybe it goes up a little bit more. But still, like, I try not to work so much and make sure that my work is more impactful, actually. So yeah, but I'm quite into, like, high performance and productivity and understanding, like, how to actually give really good quality work with the less time that you can. So luckily, 10 years of being a digital nomad and managing work allowed me to kind of find that flow where I can do that. Even though I'm dealing with a lot and I'm, you know, moving to a new country, starting a new business, still managing my other business, I feel like that's really guiding me, and it's okay. I know that I feel like I won't burn out here, which is good. Okay. But I hope those aren't famous last time.
No, I feel like the like you were saying with like Lisbon in general or Portugal, it's grounding energy here. It really is.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you, I feel like it makes you be a little bit more reflective. Yeah, I don't know. Ever since I've gotten here, I've been very reflective.
Me too. And I think it's also because there is a slower pace of life, you know, like it does remind you that you can be slower, you can slow down, you can, don't need to rush everywhere, yeah. You know, and I think you can still manage to do a lot as long as you're able to do it in the right way as well. So I think that's also what's really nice. And once the summer comes, there's so many events, there's so many people out, there's so many... something I love about Spain, Portugal, I guess the south of Europe, is that people are out and people, you know, always prioritize being with other people. So mm-hmm. I'm a very big people person. So as a digital nomad, it's hard sometimes when you arrive somewhere and you don't know anyone and you don't fit in with the locals, you don't meet any of the locals, like all of this. So it's really nice, I think, for that spot, for that aspect too. I think people also help stop burnout. If you have a good social network, if you have, you know, good connections, you're able to, you know, have a good support group mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. as well.
One thing that I love here in Portugal is like you will always see people out having coffee, no matter what the weather is like. It could be cold, it could be raining. You mm-hmm. will see people out at the little kiosk and just chilling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that.
Which is really nice, yeah.
And going for a beer on a Monday, like at 3 p.m. It doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
It's really
true.
Nice.
It's nice, yeah. And it also reminds you to just like enjoy the little things, mm-hmm. like having a little coffee on the terrace or something like that. It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cafezinho.
Cafezinho.
All right, let's get into the last one. Do you have any advice for any fellow digital nomads that are thinking to settle down, and what are some of the things that they really need to know? What could you tell yourself back then for your future self now?
Yeah, so I think the longer you're on the road for, the more intense it will be to settle down. Not necessarily all good, not necessarily all bad, just more intense, I guess, because you'll have this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I can unpack my things. I had a storage for 3 years in Spain, and we drove from Lisbon to Valencia and back with this like van jam-packed with everything to put into my Lisbon apartment in Alfama.
Oh,
in like
my
the
goodness.
Winding streets. It was crazy. It was quite intense to put everything there. Somehow it's all fit in the apartment somehow.
Wow.
So we're lucky for that. So it was so nice to have finally all of my things. And I know they're just things, but like my little poof that I bought in India, my pillows I brought in Morocco, you know, like all of these little travel memories are all in one place now. So
yeah, they all tell a story.
Exactly, exactly. So that was really nice. So having something like a place that's mine, being able to keep it clean, being able to, you know, buy plants, all of this stuff was really, really nice. And it felt so, so grounding that I just was like, oh my gosh, I can finally breathe, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think it was kind of intense too, because being not able to leave a country for several months at the same in a row, being able to not leave and being able to kind of like say, okay, I'm starting fresh. I don't know anyone here, is also a bit tricky. It's normal when you're a digital nomad, but then you kind of play games with your mind. You're like, okay, but I'm living here. I should have friends, you know? I mm-hmm. should be trying to integrate into the community. But Lisbon is such a beautiful place for that, because, you know, anytime you open your phone, you can go to any type of event
mm-hmm.
and there's
yeah.
something happening and there's people there and they're enthusiastic about the
yeah.
thing that's happening. So it's super, super nice for that. So
yeah.
I don't feel like I won't make friends here, because there's been some times where I've been in some random country in some small town where there's only locals, and like I know for sure I won't make any friends there because it's some random place, but there's a beautiful beach. but yeah, so here is really nice. But yeah, for people who are becoming like settling down from the digital nomad lifestyle, I think understand why you're settling down. I think that's a big one, because for me, it was because I filled my cup. I did it so much. And I probably, after the last couple of years, I did it because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't fit in with, you know, people
mm-hmm.
working regular jobs. I would go to coffee with people complaining about their 9-to-5s. And I'm like, okay, I don't really have anything to add, to be honest. Like, I can complain, but it's like I'm in a different mindset right now about this. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard to connect with people. But then that's why other digital nomads hang out with other digital nomads. So understanding kind of why you want to settle down from the nomad lifestyle for me was all I knew. And I was like, okay, maybe this is not sustainable long term. If I want a family, if I want to build something, if I want a circle of friends that are going to stay in the same place. So I want to be able to now go and have this somewhere where I can actually like show up every day and kind of build a little community. So that was the main reason for me. And also just if I kept on going, I would have felt maybe a bit lost as well. Not really knowing where I'm living, not having a home, you know, it can get quite intense after 10 years.
You kind of listened to your instinct and your intuition telling you it was time for a change.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. So knowing why you want to come out of this lifestyle is really good. Like, some people are also totally fine with traveling their whole life, and that's great for them. Like, I think that also takes a different type of person as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really understanding why you want to come out of it and know that it's going to be uncomfortable a little bit for the first, you know, few months at least. And I'm still fresh. Like, sometimes I would go places, you know, for 3-4 months. So it still kind of feels like I'm almost a digital nomad still, but give it a few more months, then it might really feel like, okay, now I have like a certain group of friends. Now I have to like make a different group of friends for this activity that I want to do, you know, like it's a whole new world I have to navigate, which, yeah.
Any change is going to be uncomfortable. I'm sure when you first started the digital nomad lifestyle, it was uncomfortable and like, it was like, and then now you're in it, you're like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's different kind of uncomfortable. Like, it's so funny because now I'm more comfortable being on a random bus in some random country where no one speaks the language, with no internet, like being able to be like completely in my travel mode. And like, that's more comforting than maybe like saying like, oh, okay, like, do I want to hang out with these friends, or do I want to, you know, make more time to see these friends? Does this person like me? Like, was this last message weird or not? Should I be contacting them to hang out again? Like, how do I just be a normal person, you know? Like,
you know, like, that's funny.
Because as a digital nomad, it's like you can talk to people and you'd be like, hey, are you traveling here? Yeah, cool. Okay, do you want to go hike a volcano tomorrow? Yeah, sure, let's go. But like, maybe if you're living in the same place as somebody, like, people might be like, are you okay if you just like asked to do extreme activities like this?
No, that's me. That's what I do all the time. I love like spontaneous, like random stuff. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends on the sign.
Cool. I guess we need to find a volcano.
There's people for everything here, I feel. You can do anything.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel like you have like some Sagittarius in your chart somewhere, because the fact that you traveled for 10 years, like,
it's
solo in a way. I think it's amazing. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Really? Yeah. No, I didn't realize it was 10 years, I guess, obviously, until it was. But but yeah, no, it's been amazing. But yeah, I think for anyone who's coming from the lifestyle, just it's a change, but I'm happy. It feels really nurturing, actually, to be settling down and everything as well. But I'm always going to be a huge advocate for people to do it, because I think anyone who's watching, 100%, if you're on the fence, go and do it.
Life is too short to just be like living with regret, like, I wonder what that would be like. I never want to be that.
Exactly.
I mean, you can make it work, so why not?
Yeah, anything is possible.
Exactly. If you want to do it, you can.
Yes. Well, you guys, this was amazing. Thank you so much, Christina, for sharing your story, your journey with us in this podcast. We want to remind everyone to like, subscribe, and leave a comment, and let us know if you've ever thought about doing digital nomad lifestyle. And
what else?
Anything else you want to add?
Well, if you want to see more, we are on Patreon, so you can sign up through the link in the description and get bonus content and bonus episodes and Lisbon vlogs, where we take you to events and share daily life in Lisbon. So if you're interested in that, sign up through the link in the description.
And then also our daily mail.
Ah, true.
Or daily. I keep saying
you
daily.
You say daily, no, weekly.
Weekly.
Well, you can do it daily. I'll do
it. No. Weekly mail.
Weekly mail.
Where we write a personal story about something that has happened to us here in Lisbon, and you get to hear all about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the only place you can get it. So sign up. It's free. So, but you have to sign up on our website. So let's end it here. Thanks so much, guys. And we will see you guys in the next one. And this is from Lisbon
with love. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.